The White House is dismissing the strong criticism of President Bush that came this weekend from former Treasury Secretary Paul O'Neill. Comments by O'Neill last night on the CBS program 60 Minutes and in a new book portray the president as disengaged during policy discussions. O'Neill also says the White House was determined to overthrow Iraqi leader Saddam Hussein even before the 9/11 terrorist attacks. Today, the U.S. Treasury says it wants an investigation of whether O'Neill violated any laws by sharing administration documents with the book's author. NPR's Don Gagne reports from the White House.
Paul O'Neill left the Bush administration just over a year ago, having been forced out when he was no longer seen as sufficiently supportive of administration economic policies. Most notable was his belief that a growing budget deficit was dangerous and that the president should not be pursuing big new tax cuts beyond those enacted in the summer of 2001. It was widely known that O'Neill, who had also worked in the Ford and Nixon administrations, was angry over his ouster, but he has not talked extensively about his time in the White House until now, in the book The Price of Loyalty by Ron Suskind. O'Neill describes how frustrated he was as a member of the Bush cabinet and how difficult it was to hold substantive discussions with the president on the economy. This is from last night's 60 Minutes broadcast. He's speaking with CBS reporter Leslie Stahl.
I went in with a long list of things to talk about and I thought to engage on. And as the book says, I was surprised that it turned out me talking and the president just listening.
He never asked a single question.
As I recall, it was mostly a monologue.
O'Neill described the president's running of cabinet meetings as, quote, a blind man in a room full of deaf people. And on Iraq, he says it was clear from the beginning of the Bush presidency in January of 2001 that the plan was to find a way to remove Saddam Hussein. It is something the president's critics have long charged, but now it comes from someone inside of an administration known for not giving up its secrets.
If it wasn't so closed, we wouldn't be so fascinated by these snippets.
That's presidential scholar Stephen Hess of the Brookings Institution, who says while history is full of books by people who have left a top White House job, O'Neill's comments, as told to Suskind, are far more negative than usual.
They usually don't choose to lash back at presidents in this way. White House memoirs are usually quite tame documents. There's a sense of hurt here that I think distinguishes this.
O'Neill's comments are also unusual in that they come less than a year before the election. Hess says they will immediately become part of the campaign dialogue, but doubts the impact will be significant on the president.
At the moment, he has the highest approval rating of any president going into a presidential election here, I think, since Lyndon Johnson. I don't think the political fallout is going to be very great from this.
O'Neill's revelations have prompted not just firm denials from the White House, but now action by the Treasury Department, which wants to know what sort of documents he shared with Suskind and whether he did so improperly. It's the kind of fallout that could have been predicted, but which O'Neill himself seemed unprepared for when asked by 60 Minutes if he worries he'll be attacked for what he has said.
Well, I don't think I need to be, because I can't imagine that I'm going to be attacked for telling the truth. Why would I be attacked for telling the truth?
Bush critics, meanwhile, are applauding O'Neill for providing a view of the White House that they say they had pictured all along. Don Gagne, NPR News, the White House.